to see you guys. Good to be here. What I want to do this morning, and it's going to be for the next few weeks, I want to talk about encounters. I've had this thing in my heart since August to look at what Jesus was doing walking the earth. And there are some encounters that he had with women especially. I want to take that as a support to speak on how Jesus encounters people in the Bible and what really it means to us personally and what it means to the church as a whole in general. Is that making sense? I'm going to call this series, if there was to be a name, The Encounters. I want to start with a story first. About 3 years ago, it was July, I was going through a pretty difficult time, emotionally, mentally, kind of reevaluating our lives with Aunt Cecile, and we got two tickets to see Coldplay in concert. I don't know if you guys have heard that story before. Some of you have, some of you have not. So we're driving to Charlotte to see Coldplay, and on the way there, we're just talking, and you know, are we making a difference? What are we doing? Is this really making sense? You know, should we not do something different? I feel like a failure. All those things you go through when you reevaluate your life and try to find a sense of what you're doing. Is it really worth it? And the problem with that, when you do that and you don't have the right perspective, you tend to be your worst critic. Kind of in a very down, depressed season. So we get to the arena, and I feel the Lord telling me, I want to talk to you today through this concert. It's always comforting to hear that, but I'm you know, we're so used to the prophetic that I was looking for this someone coming to me and talking to me, or a sign, a banner, or something. And so I get to the arena. Our seats are all the way to the top. Didn't realize you needed to pay a little bit more than $100 to see Coldplay to have a good seat. So we're all the way at the back, and the music starts first, you know, opening band, and you've got this sense. Have you guys gone to either NFL games, NBA games, or any kind of concert where you're so far away from the action, you kind of participate but not really. You look at the action, but you not really feel part of it. You know what I'm talking about? And so we're up on the upper section, and we're watching this whole thing unfold. Coldplay comes onto the scene. Everybody, we have bracelets, and the light is shining. It's really pretty cool. And I'm looking for God to talk to me, and nothing's happening. And but that sense of disconnectedness, is that a word? Of being removed from what really is going on, from the life, basically. And it's something I think most of us go through in life, this sense of we're going through the motion, we're going through life, we're going through our jobs, we're walking through fatherhood, motherhood, family, but this sense that we're just observers to life. You understand that? We kind of not really participate in it, we kind of look at it from an outside perspective, and we're wondering where things connect, we're wondering if we're really having some sense of interaction and meaning through life, even through church, basically. You know, we come to church, we have, you know, Sunday service and stuff like that, but we never feel like we feel connected as a whole to a community, as a whole to a family, as a whole to people we have in our lives. You know, you understand what I mean? It's what I want to talk about this morning. Luke 13, if you can turn there. Verse 10. One Sabbath, Jesus was teaching in one of the synagogues. There was a woman there who had a spirit of weakness for 18 years. Some translations say a spirit of affliction. Others say there's a few other translations. But the Greek really goes back to that idea of a spirit of weakness. For 18 years, she was bent double and couldn't stand fully upright. Now, I want to stop there for just a second. And I'm going to try to develop this point for us to understand. This woman was... whether it was from hard labor through the Roman Empire, who would, you know, make people do things. Her back was broken. It could be a fusion of her vertebrae. It could be some sickness she was carrying. We don't really know. Luke doesn't really express why this woman is bent over. Now, Luke never, in his approach of the gospel, as a physician, would tend to give details for people to kind of relate to the story. This one says that she has a spirit of weakness. And I want you guys to understand, this woman was going through this motion. She was and I'm going to try to do this as long as I can. She's bent over like this for 18 years. And she's going through life, going through the market, and all she sees is the dirt on her feet, is the path around her, is the shuffle around her. She can't really have a face-to-face conversation with people. She can't really have an eyeball-to-eyeball interaction with human being. You understand that? She's bent over with this affliction she's been carrying for two decades now. She's not able to be normal, upright, and be, you know, accepted in her village. Now, you got to understand, I'm going to take a break because my back's starting to hurt. In the Jewish mindset, any affliction someone was carrying was believed to be their own responsibility. You understand that? They were responsible. They had done something wrong, either a sin in their lives, either their parents had sinned. You know, and you see that in John 9, you know, when John, the disciples go through this man who's blind from birth, and they ask the question, like every Jew would be asking, hey, Jesus, let me get the story straight here. Is this man blind because of something he's done? Or is he blind because his parents have sinned? You see this, we have this tendency to think that the thing that afflicts us, the thing that pushes us down, the thing that causes us to look down at our feet, it, some kind of things that we have kind of carried, we deserve it. You understand? And this woman is going through life, and in this season in time in her life, in Jerusalem, in the synagogue, in Judea, her label is the crippled woman. She has no name. The only thing she's referred to in this season is the crippled one, the bent over, the hunched down. You got to understand, what we go through life, the things we do that cause us to be bent down, if we let it sit too long, they become our own identity. We lose who we are and we become the crippled one. Is that making sense? We had a... In Switzerland, when we were kids, there was this old man, and you know, you've heard the story of the hunchback of Notre Dame. This man had such a hunchback, or whatever you call it, on his back. He was walking like this. It was the old man, and you could see this huge thing, you know, on his back, and he was walking like this, and we all knew him. The whole town, 12,000 people, it's a small village for you guys. For us, it's a decent city. 12,000, we all knew the man, we called him the Bossu, which means the hunchback. When you would give directions to someone and it was close to his house, we would say, hey, go by the house of the Bossu and to the left you will turn and go to that street. You know, he had become this entity, this signpost in the village, in the town, of who he was. And what's so striking is nobody really knew his name. And he was a figure in the village to the degree that in the newspaper, when he died, there was a front page article about this man. The Bossu died, you know, I can't remember the date. And it's the first time in my life I actually found his name. Nobody knew his name. This woman is walking crippled. She is on the outskirts of life. She's not really having an interaction with people. By the way, if you have sin in your life like they believed, and you have this infirmity you carry, you are not to be in contact with others, because in their mindset, you would become an infection to whoever touched you. See, this sense of disconnectedness, this sense of removal, this sense of I'm not part of, I'm living my life disconnected from the rest of this community I live in. I'm just going through the motion. And I don't think she was sitting in front of the synagogue. I don't think she was received in the front of the synagogue. As a matter of fact, she's so removed that she's just passing by. See, her affliction in the Greek is not simply physical. Now carry this thought with me for a second. Imagine yourself being bent over for 18 years like this. Not only it's a physical ailment, but it becomes a mental struggle. You see, you have been reduced to the crippled one. You have been reduced to this less than a woman. You have been reduced to just that woman over there who's crippled. Your ailment is not just physical, it is mental. It is a spirit. It's a spiritual ailment you're carrying right now. Do you understand that? This is this woman, and I've said that on Facebook. This woman represents most of us going through life. She represents this person who all of us have encountered in our lives, where we think the things we've done, the things we've gone through, whether it be a divorce, whether it be sin, whether it be something shameful, whether it be a rejection, whether it be caused by family, by a job, all those things, we tend to take them on as our own label and receive them as this hunched over, bent down state of mind. The things you failed at, the thing you tried to do and it was a miserable failure. The relationship you destroyed or you were part of that were destroyed. You understand that? And they tend to weigh us down to such a degree that we feel like we're unnoticed. And we cannot deserve it. There was a woman there who had a spirit of weakness for 18 years. She was bent double and couldn't stand fully upright. Verse 12. Jesus saw her. I want you to stop there. Jesus saw her. There's something that's going on when people feel unnoticed, when people feel bent down, when people feel hunched down, when people feel pressed by life's decision, pressed by the mistakes they've done. There's this sense that people not only are not noticing us, but we feel like Jesus is not even looking at us and paying attention. We have this sense that he's far away. He's looking for people to look after him. And we feel unnoticed and on the sideline. You know, some stories in the Bible, like the woman with the issue of blood, she pressed her luck, moving people out of the way to touch him. Zacchaeus called Jesus out of the tree from this place, calling him, "Hey, Jesus." You understand that there are people going after him. When you're so bent over in your life, so removed, so unnoticed, so not cared for, you have this sense that even Jesus himself is not noticing you. That you have to do something to get to that place so you can actually get his attention. This woman wasn't looking for healing. She was in the crowd. There's no indication in the text that she's going to try to touch Jesus. There's no indication she's trying to be getting his attention for something, because for 18 years, people have ignored her. And Jesus saw her. Ladies and gentlemen, if you have felt like you have been unnoticed, if you have felt like the burden of life has put you in such a position that you can't even have a face-to-face conversation, that you feel so much shame and guilt, that all you carry is this weight of your decisions that's pushing you down in shame and guilt, Jesus sees you. Now, this is not the evangelistic, Jesus sees you and he sees your sin. No, it's like there was no human interaction for this woman, and suddenly, of all the people, this rabbi sees her. He notices her. And it goes beyond that. It says, and Jesus saw her and he called to her. Now, it sounds such a simple story, but This woman approached Jesus going through the crowd. This woman that had no name, all she was known for is the crippled one. And she gets to Jesus, and you gotta understand, this is a beautiful picture, and I wish we could go a little deeper. Jesus as a teacher is the only one sitting in the room. Back in the time of the synagogues, people were standing up and the rabbi was sitting down. Nick, come here. I want you to be Jesus. I want you to sit down. Be Jesus. Now imagine this woman, she's not having interaction. Oh, when she sees somebody, she's looking at them this way. There's always this feeling of rejection. And Jesus calls her. She's noticed this sense of humanity, of contact, of warmth is there. She gets to Jesus. She's now eye level with the Prince of Life. She's seeing Him for who He is. It says that as He was teaching, He noticed her. He interrupted His own teaching because He noticed that woman that was bent over by life. And he's looking at her face to face. We have so elevated the idea of spirituality above human connection that we can't even understand how deep this connection is. For a man to call out a woman from the crowd who's crippled, and not only looking at her face to face, but he's touching her. This holistic aspect of life that we so reject in our spiritual attitude, that we want the spiritual experience, we want those kind of things. But the humanity is so real for Jesus that He's paying attention to this woman and He's touching her. And that touch of someone human, someone caring, someone so kind, to notice this woman who was ignored for 18 years, is all it takes for her to straighten up fully and living life from a completely different perspective. Are you guys getting this? And like it is in most of the stories, it doesn't stop there, right? Someone is upset. Woman, he said, laying his hands on her, this touch, this connection, this human interaction. Woman, he said, laying his hands on her, you are freed from your affliction. And at once she stood upright and praised God. Verse 14, listen to this. The synagogue president was angry that Jesus had healed on the Sabbath. Look here, he said to the crowd. So now he's ignoring Jesus. He's talking to the people present. Look here, people. There are 6 days for people to work. Come on one of those days and be healed. Not on the Sabbath. He's pretty mad right now. Now, we've simplified this interaction with the religious leaders as, you know, Jesus came to deliver us from this dutyism, this work mentality, and He's addressing that to them. Now, it goes beyond, because back in the days, if you had an ailment, if you were sick, if you had skin disease, your duty was to go to the priest during the open hours, the business hours, and they would perform what they would do, sacrifice, and they would offer some few things for your healing. This was the time, you know, there was no doctors like you would called Medicare or Medicaid to go get your help. No, you had to go to the priest, to the synagogue. You had to go to this place. On the Sabbath, though, you were supposed to rest. This man is upset because this woman should have been coming on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and Sunday, not Saturday. You understand that? She could have come any other day, but he was so offended that this crowd was witnessing this rabbi perform, work, a miracle. See, if you think your ailment is deserved, if you think your pain is something you deserve because of your decision, if you think you have to carry this weight for a season because you did it to yourself, then of course you're going to have to find duties, religious work, to get out of it. This man was so upset that Jesus did not respect the proper states, the proper way to do things. He was so upset, mad. Verse 15. And Jesus is very kind with this Pharisees. "You bunch of hypocrites," replied Jesus. "You would all be quite happy to untie an ox or a donkey from its stall on the Sabbath day and lead it out for a drink. And isn't it right that this daughter of Abraham, tied up by the Satan for these 18 years, should be untied from the chains on the Sabbath day?" Let me paraphrase this. You guys, you have animals in your house. It's something you do. When they're thirsty, you untie them and lead them to the water. Now, don't you think it makes sense for the father of all to take this daughter of Abraham to be untied just like you do with your ox? And he's making a comparison here. You know, you're so fixated on the rules and the regulations. You're so fixated on the law that you have missed why the Sabbath actually exists. And it is to give rest to people. Now, I could go on there, but I want to point something to you. Listen to what he says. "And isn't it right that this daughter of Abraham," do you know that this is the only time in the Old Covenant and the New Covenant that any woman is called a daughter of Abraham? First time in the scriptures. Go look through it. First and only time. Now, what do we know about Abraham? Father Abraham. Okay, let's do it. Father Abraham had many sons. Many sons had Father Abraham, correct? And what's the rest of the story? And then? I'm one of them, and so are we. You know, it's not this sexist approach, but we do have this tendency to classify gender in our society, especially in the church environment. Now, this is not a woman-man system that I want to address. I just want to point out that throughout history in the scriptures, the gospel narrative, the covenant narrative, not once a woman is called a daughter. Now, Isaac is called a son, Jacob, Joseph, David, Solomon, up until Jesus, they're called sons of Abraham. Now, what does it mean to be a son? There's this idea of the covenant, this promise God has made. And if you've watched, this is my plug again, the Bible Project. Had you watched the video, you would know what I'm talking about. The hinge between those two parts. The covenant aspect is what is partnering God with you and me. It's this moment where God links arm to arm with you and walking. It's this moment where the promises of Abraham, the protection, the wealth, the health, all this is carried through the sons of Abraham. Are you getting this? Jesus chooses a woman who was known as the crippled one to realign people's mindset, people's understanding about what God really is all about. It is a family man who's reconnecting gender, reconnecting people who have been broken, reconnecting people who have been cast out, people who have been cast down, people who have been hunched down, bent down because of the weight of life. He's saying to them, it doesn't matter what your label is. It doesn't matter what you've gone through in life. It doesn't matter if you've been crippled for 18 years. It doesn't matter if you've divorced your wife or your husband. It doesn't matter if you had an affair. It doesn't matter if you've done drugs. It doesn't matter if you failed at your business. It doesn't matter if you failed as a father or mother. It does not matter. Because the way I see you is I see you as a daughter or as a son. What you go through in life is not this label of what you failed at. It's just life. And if you could just hear His word, because like I said earlier today, we are our worst critic. And then you start looking at yourself in the mirror and you realize what your expectations are and how you haven't met them. You tend to assign yourself labels. I'm a failure. I'm a reject. Nobody likes me. You guys understand that? And Jesus steps on the scene and He calls her daughter of Abraham, connecting her to the promise that Abraham received. I'm almost done. See, what really matters is not what you see about yourself. It's what Jesus says about you. That despite her infirmity, she was noticed by the Prince of Life. Despite of the weight she carried, the brokenness she had, the spirit of weakness, she was still noticed by Him. It's this message of identity. And what He does in the midst of this village, at that very moment, He restores her from a place of brokenness and weakness and establishes her in the midst of all those men and women listening as a daughter of Abraham. They all had to change their mind from that moment on. See, this is what we see Jesus doing constantly. You may feel overlooked by the Lord. You may feel like you're on the outskirts. You may feel like you don't qualify. You may feel like you deserve what's happening to you right now. But in the midst of all this, there's a God who notices you. Not only that, but He's calling you to Him. You see, we have this tendency to work to get there. And Jesus is like, hey, you. And I have this sense that this year, 2017, those of us who have felt unnoticed and on the outskirts, going through the motions and not really connecting with people, I think this is the year for you. And I hate making those statements, it sounds so cliche, but this is the time for Him. He will call you. And He will reach out His hand and He will look at you face to face, eyeball to eyeball, having this human interaction to connect with you. This simplicity of being touched by His presence. And this is a word for church as a whole. You know, this idea of the church being bent down, cast down, looking at the shuffle of our feet for so long. Jesus notices. And the moment He reaches His hand to touch you, touch us, touch the church, it's going to straighten this whole mindset up again. Where we can see face to face, eyeball to eyeball, conversation to conversation. Of the first person she saw face to face standing up was Jesus. And that sets the course for her life. So let me do this. If you feel like you've been one of the descriptions I've given, this is not the typical out. If you feel like this woman who was bent down, hunched back for so long, hunched down, cast down for so long, and you feel like you've been unnoticed by Him, I want you guys to stand up. I want to pray for you. And then we'll take communion. If you feel like you've dealt with shame and guilt and rejection and you feel like you deserve it, I want to pray for you. Justin, can you come and play some? I'm going to finish with this. The message is who you are comes from Him, not from you. God has not overlooked us. He has not overlooked you because of you or because of what you've done or your family has done. When God comes, He erases the labels. Our own labels and the labels that people have put over us. So Lord, Let's make this practical, Lord. Call people out. Call them out to you. So Lord, right now we rip this label that we've carried. We remove this label of failure, of not being truly connected, of going through the motion and not really seeing you, feeling disconnected from the body and from the church and from you. We remove those labels. Shame and guilt, burden of life, be removed. You are a son. You are a daughter. You are part of the promise of Abraham, of the blessings of Abraham, of the love relationship that Abraham had with the Father. You are part of the family. And now, in your name, we remove any lie spoken in ourselves, spoken against us, and we break this spirit of weakness. You are received, you are accepted, you are loved, you are cared for. Any abuse that has gone on in your life is now stopped. And we release healing. All those attachments that have pulled you down, caused you to only look at your feet, only look at the dirt, only look at the ground you walk, hoping someone would notice. You have been noticed by Him. Oh, how He loves us. How He loves us. How He loves us. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Lord, we take the elements of communion, the bread, and we give thanks, Lord, for your broken body, who is healing to our soul, spirit, and mind, and body. Lord, we thank you. We bless the cup of the new covenant, as we partake of this symbol of connectedness right now. No more spirit of weakness, of infirmity. You are loosened right now. Lord, we ask you to solidify your identity in us. Solidify how you see us. Continue to repeat to our ears and our hearts who we are. It doesn't matter what we did. It doesn't matter what happened to us. What matters is what you say about us. And we make a conscious decision to straighten up fully and look you straight in the eyes. Thank you, Lord. Would you guys go and grab communion? Take communion with somebody. This meal is what connects us to one body. as you waiting in line, let me finish my story that I started earlier. So I'm in this concert with Coldplay. In a very bent down, cast down mentality. My soul is cast down. And I know the Lord wants to speak to me, but I don't see it. And suddenly, the singer starts this song, Yellow. And before he starts, some of you have heard the story. Before he starts, I want to acknowledge somebody in this crowd today. And he said, before I say his name, I want to mention a few things. And he said, I want you to know how proud I am of you. I want you to know that what you have done wasn't in vain. I want you to know that you have been noticed. These are his words. I want you to know that you are making a difference. So he goes on for about 2 minutes about this person. And we're all wondering who this person is, right? And he says, and this man's name is Marshall. And I just broke down. I mean, I'm in a concert. I'm trying to be dignified. I just broke down, bawling. And as this was going on, I had friends who was in the concert too, texting me, how do you know the singer? What happened? Why is he calling you out? And I knew he wasn't, you don't understand that. And if you read the lyrics of the song Yellow, it makes so much more sense. So, despite being away from the action, on the sideline, feeling disconnected, not really part of, Jesus noticed me. This can happen to any of us. And just get ready, because it will for you too. All right? Lord bless the Steelers and the Packers. I don't know football, so you can stone me if you want. Lord, thank you for joy in this new year. Thank you for this attitude of gratitude that you are depositing in our hearts. We bless you this week. We bless your coming and going. We bless your jobs. We bless your families. We bless your relationship. Thank you, Lord, for all the things you do for us. And see you guys on Wednesday at home group. Have a great week.